Will you thank our band for leading us this morning? Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Sam Barnhill. I am in charge of our sports and fitness ministry here at Grace. Yes, we do have sports and fitness programs for those of you who are new, and it's an honor and a privilege that I have to lead that. We have a number of different leagues and camps and fitness programs right here on our property, all designed to reach our community. If you know the city of Powell, we have lots of young families, lots of active families, and so we try to meet their needs and get them onto our property through sports and fitness. And it's a really cool way that we have to reach our community. And it's something that we're very excited about. And this morning, I have an exciting announcement. In your bulletin, you'll see an announcement for the opening of our fall league registration. If you guys know, we have fall soccer leagues from 4 to 11 years old. But the exciting thing this year, that we're adding flag football. So if you have a child that is between the ages of 8 and 12 and is interested in playing flag football, this fall, we would love to have them join us, and you can register at gracepowellsports.com. The other thing we need are head coaches, assistant coaches, referees, setup, teardown. We need help for all of that. So if you have any interest in doing that, we can register you online, or you can come see me, get a hold of me, and we'd love to have you a part of the Grace Powell Sports team. So when Jeff called me the other day, I was actually sitting on the beach trying to enjoy my vacation, and he says, "Hey, what do you think about teaching in our summer at the movie series coming up in 2 weeks?" And I said, "Jeff, I think you have the worst possible person to teach in this series." And I said, "You want to know why?" I said, "Why?" And I said, "You want to know how many movies I've seen since 2012 in theaters? I have seen three movies. I've seen three. And each time someone else has paid for me to go. I've not gone to a movie willingly, at least since 2012. So I'm not well-versed in movies, but nor do we really watch them at home. Either my wife and I, it's just not something we do. We probably watched, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago is probably the last movie that we watched at home. But I'm going to give this a go, so bear with me. We're going to talk about movies. I actually picked one of my favorite movies of all time, which you'll hear about in a second. But when Jeff brought up the idea of this series, I really liked what he was saying, what he was communicating. And he's told this to you before each time that he's preached over the past few weeks. But the idea of this series is not to elevate movies, or really to say there's anything special about movies or these movies in particular that we're covering, but instead to get a glimpse into what our culture values, right? We know that there's millions and billions of dollars spent every year on movies, on advertising, on the production of movies. And so I think it helps us get an idea of what our culture deems as important. And so it's kind of this missionary mindset that Jeff talked about too, where you go into a culture and you want to learn the language, you want to learn the culture, the dress, the customs, the food, the transportation. You want to learn that so that you can better communicate to the people that you're trying to reach. Same with our sports ministry that we have here. We recognize the city of Powell and what they're all about, and so that's what we're trying to be about here. Now, for you, those of you who know, my wife and I were missionaries in Madagascar, and one of the stories we often tell is just how the use of our language and trying to learn Malagasy really kind of helped to break down walls. And for example, we would be driving down the road or walking down the road, and one of the things that they did in Madagascar was the locals, if they saw somebody that was white-skinned, they would yell, "Vaza, vaza," which means foreigner, foreigner. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing. They were just kind of identifying you as different. And so I would have some fun with this, and because they thought that we were French, most likely. And so I would yell back to them in Malagasy, and it would kind of catch them off guard, because they fully expected us to speak French or to just ignore them. And I would say something like, "Oho, zaho Malagasy futi tivaza," and that means, "No, I'm a white Malagasy. I'm not a foreigner." Right? And they would kind of like, it would kind of catch them off guard, and they'd be like, "Okay, there's something different about this guy," and it would start a conversation. And as they got to know us, and our village got to know us, and people at the market got to know us, and we would come up to them and order, you know, get food at the market and talk to people at their hut in Malagasy, they started to see there's something different about us, because we were trying to do something different. It was a little bit countercultural, right, where there's this separation between the French and the Malagasy in Madagascar, where we were trying to bridge that gap, right? We were trying to be different. And that's the same we try to do with our sports ministry, and the same thing we're doing here with our Summer at the Movies series. So as I was studying for this series, this idea of redemption was in my head. And I don't know why, other than the Holy Spirit just kind of leading me to this topic. And I thought, well, let's just see how many movies have the redemption storyline in them. And so a quick Google search gave me this list of movies, and some of the greatest movies of all time are on this list. Definitely very popular movies, and this isn't even an exhaustive list. This is just a few that I picked. A couple of my favorite movies. If you know me at all, you'll know that I quote How the Grinch Stole Christmas all the time. It's one of my favorites. But I just thought it was really interesting how our society loves that story of redemption, or that underdog story, or that comeback story, when we as Christians are holding the greatest redemption story of all time in the Bible, right? And what Jesus did on the cross. I thought that's really interesting. We should study that topic. Now, the movie that I picked, again, one of my favorite movies of all time, is Shawshank Redemption. How many of you guys have seen Shawshank Redemption? Okay, that's kind of what I thought. It's on the list of all the top movies of all time. It's on those lists. And I do have to give a little bit of, like, viewer discretion is advised for this movie. So before you go home and pop it in for a nice Sunday afternoon movie with your kids, like, read up on it a little bit. Do a little study on yourself, maybe watch it yourselves before you show it to your kids, because this movie does take place in a prison, and they don't shy away from any of the rough language or the scenes that you might associate with prison. So viewer discretion is advised for this movie, but it is a great movie in the sense that it does help us to see this idea of redemption and some of the things that our culture values. There's a reason why it is on those top 10 list. This movie also, if you aren't aware, was filmed in my hometown of Mansfield, Ohio. So an hour north of here, it was filmed largely at the Reformatory. Up there, you can go and you can tour the Reformatory and see different scenes in the movie. And so for me, it has a personal connection. And so that's why I really, really do enjoy this movie. This movie has all the things our society deems as important. It has crime and prison, escape, innocent people in prison, redemption, all that built in. The interesting thing, too, like I just said, is that the Bible has all of this, too, right? We see crime. We see innocent people being persecuted. We see escape, Jesus from the grave and from death, right? We see all of these things built into the Bible. And so I think it's going to really help us parallel this movie and this idea of redemption and what that looks like in the life of a Christian, but also how that looks in the life of a non-believer and how we bridge that gap. The dictionary defines redemption as the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. And so the question we're going to ask today is, how does redemption look in the life of a Christian day in and day out? And how does it look in the life of a non-believer? And how do we communicate that? How do we cross that barrier that is between Christians and non-Christians? It's becoming more and more evident every single day. And for those of you that that know this story, we're going to talk a little bit about Andy and Red, and I'll have a slide here of them in a second, but we're going to talk about them specifically and how their relationship develops through the movie, how their friendship develops and their attitude changes. But before we do that, if we could turn to Ephesians 2 in your Bible. Ephesians 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And that's going to kind of set the stage. We're going to come back, so just keep your finger in there. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 to start us off this morning, and then we're going to pop back in and out of here a little bit as we go along this morning. So Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10. I'll give you a second to get there. Verse 1 says this: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of the great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Will you pray with me before we begin our service this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. God, for the opportunity we have to look at some of the things that our culture deems as important and values. And I thank you for the opportunity we have to see some parallels this morning. God, I pray that we can just retain the information this morning in order to pursue people in our community, to bring them the good news, this redemption story. God, I thank you that you've given us the greatest redemption story of all time. God, we love you, and it's in your name we pray this morning. So like I talked about, you guys...
Andy kept...
You guys know the main characters, Andy and Red, and we're going to follow them, like I said, throughout this teaching this morning and kind of look at their character development, their friendship development, and kind of how it helps us see some of the things we talk about as far as the redemption story. And so here's a scene where Andy and Red meet for the first time.
Andy kept pretty much to himself at first. I guess he had a lot on his mind, trying to adapt to life on the inside. It wasn't until a month went by that he finally opened his mouth to say more than two words to somebody. As it turned out, that somebody was me.
I'm Andy Dufresne.
Wife-killing banker. Why'd you do it?
I didn't, since you ask.
You're going to fit right in. Everybody in here is innocent. Didn't you know that?
And so, you know, in the movie, if you guys have seen it, you know that the beginning of the movie starts off very much like, this is how life is in the prison. This is how things go, and just get used to it, right? This is our life. But this morning, we're going to kind of cover three points. And we're going to, how I'm going to do this, I'm going to first give you the point that we're going to talk about. Then I'm going to give you a movie scene, a clip from the movie that kind of helps give a visual to this point. And then we're going to talk about the biblical evidence for that. So, sound good? Yes? You guys are a little more awake than the first service. Sound good? Yeah. Okay. All right, so the first thing that we must do in order to understand the story of redemption is to realize how badly we need saving. You see, my concern with Christians, myself included, I'm including myself in this, is that we often forget how badly we need Jesus. I think we understand that when we first get saved. I think we understand that maybe at a Christian camp, much like our high schoolers and middle schoolers that are at Momentum right now, that they understand maybe in this moment that they truly need Jesus. I think we might understand this on Sunday morning when the band's playing. We might get this sense of, yes, like I'm broken, I need Jesus. But Monday through Saturday, I think oftentimes we forget, at least speaking from my own heart, oftentimes I forget how badly I need Jesus when I leave this building, right? When I go out into society. And so I think that's the first thing that we need to understand is how far removed we are from Christ. Before we can ever understand the redemption story, we first must know where we started. Here's a scene from the movie where Andy kind of comes to this realization that he's in prison for a different reason than his crime suggests, right? And so that's what I'm suggesting this morning is that as he has a transition in his life and in his purpose in prison, we too need to have a transition and a new purpose in our life. So check this out.
My wife used to say I'm a hard man to know. Like a closed book. Complained about it all the time. She was beautiful. God, I loved her. I just didn't know how to show it, that's all. I killed her, Red. I didn't pull the trigger. But I drove her away. And that's why she died, because of me. The way I am.
So if you're familiar with the movie, you know at that point in time in the movie, that's where things kind of change for Andy and also change for Red and begin to work in Red's life too. And so what we're gonna do this morning is talk a little bit about the biblical evidence for this and our depravity and how we are removed from Christ. And what I wanna do first is talk about a few different verses. And what I often tell when I'm speaking to middle school downstairs on Sunday morning or whoever is when you see something that's repeated over and over and over again in the Bible, what does it typically mean? What does it mean? It's important, right? If you see something that's repeated over and over and over again, my parents are here this morning, and if they say something to me over and over and over and over again as I'm growing up, I probably should listen, right? Not that I always did, but I should probably listen because it's probably important. And so when I Googled this and it kind of looked up some of these verses, I came up with a whole exhaustive list of what it meant to be removed from Christ. And so I put a few on here. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Jeremiah 17:9 says that man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Psalms 51 and 58 both say that when we are born wicked. We are born sinful. And finally there in Ephesians, and we'll read that. So look back at your scripture, Ephesians 1. We're just going to read 1 through 3 to start. And you'll see this idea that we were dead. We were nothing until Christ came along and saved us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So very much like Andy and Red and these people that were in prison, they were deserving of wrath. And that leads us to our second point this morning. And that is only once we realize how badly we need saving will we want to truly know God more. Another way of putting this is if we realize the depths of our depravity and the heights of God's love, then and only then can we really truly understand the hope that God and salvation can provide us. Next, we got a scene where Andy is now gone from the prison and Red is kind of reminiscing about his time spent with Andy. You can see, if you know the movie, a little bit of hope now in Red's voice, a little bit of a change. He noticed something different about Andy, a change that he brought to Shawshank Prison.
And he got it. Yeah, bro.
Sometimes it makes me sad, though, Andy being gone. I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. And when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice. But still, the place you live in is that much more drab and empty that they're gone. I guess I just miss my friend.
So you can see this development in Red where he sees that there's something different about Andy and yet he can't remove himself from the circumstance that he's in. But I want to now look into scripture again and see what the Bible says about this, that not only till we realize how far we are removed from Christ till we really can get to know who he is. And so Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let's look back at our scripture here in Ephesians 2 and see what the next verses say. Verse 4 starts with this critical word that I always call the big but. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes in the Bible, there's something that talks about us being lost or broken or removed from Christ. And then there's this word but. And then comes the good news. And every time you see that word, you should pay attention, right? Because it calls us to something different. Those of us who are saved, who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, now get this that's coming when we deserved what was before. And so let's read verses 4-7. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Here we see the scripture telling us that we are alive with Christ, that we are seated with Christ, that we will get to know his riches and his kindness. And it talks about a developing relationship as we walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ. The next point I have this morning is that only once we realize how badly we need saving will we want to know God more and then make him known. If you're given the greatest gift of all time, and that is salvation, right? You want to know who gave you that gift, but then you also want to share it with other people. And so we're gonna take a look here at another scene. And in this scene, another criminal by the name of Brooks, about midway through the movie, gets released on parole. And when Brooks is out, he talks about how he just can't cope living in society, how he's been institutionalized, how he's somebody when he's in prison and he's nobody when he's on the outside. And if you know the story, you ultimately know that Brooks took his life because he couldn't cope with the outside. But here we see Red now on parole himself, and he's struggling with these same things. On the inside of prison, he's somebody. On the outside, he's nobody, right? And he's contemplating either committing a crime to go back to prison or killing himself. But there's one thing at the very end that I think is important for us to see.
There's a harsh truth to face. No way I'm gonna make it on the outside. All I do anymore is think of ways to break my parole. So maybe they'd send me back. Terrible thing to live in fear. Brooks Adlin knew it. Knew it all too well. All I want is to be back where things make sense. Where I won't have to be afraid all the time. Only one thing stops me. A promise I made to Andy.
So you see, he talks about this promise, and the difference between Red and Brooks when they were out was hope. And not only hope, but hope into action. And so let's talk a little bit about what the Bible says about this. In Acts 20, Paul is speaking, and Paul was known as a great persecutor of Christians before he changed his name from Saul to Paul, right? He was known as a persecutor of Christians, and they had this experience on the road to Damascus where a blinding light led him to come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And if you know Paul and his life, he says things like later on in this passage where it says, I consider my life worthless, right? He realized his depravity. Later on in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's getting to know Christ more and more every single day. And here in Acts 20, 22 through 24, it says, and now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying the good news of God's grace. You see, Paul understood that A, he was removed from Christ. He had no hope. Christ saved him. Now he wants to get to know him, and he has to tell other people about him. And he's gonna stop at nothing, right? He says prison, hardships, and if you know Paul's story, shipwreck, beatings, doesn't matter. It didn't stop him from sharing his faith. Let's look back at Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, we are created to do good works. And like Bob said earlier, it's not that we have to do good works in order to be saved, but because we recognize that we need a Savior, we do good works. Let's take a look back at the final scene in this movie, and I want you to note the joy and the happiness and the hope that is in Red's voice as he's taking this bus ride.
I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. A free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope.
So as the movie concludes, we see that this story of redemption has come full circle in both Andy and Red's life. And now they have hope because of a promise, because of something that Andy laid the groundwork to a long time ago. But I think understanding redemption is not a one-time process, but a day-in and day-out process. And so I created this this wheel that helped me to kind of understand this week what this story of redemption was all about. You see, it's not a one-time decision to realize how bad I need Jesus. It's not a one-time decision to get to know Jesus. It's not a one-time decision to share him. But every single day, I need to be making trips around this circle. And the funny thing is about this circle is if you're struggling to read or to pray, you need to understand how desperately you need him, and that's gonna help you with that. If you struggle to share Jesus, get to know him more, and then you'll want to share him. If you struggle to understand how lost you are, be around non-believers, and that'll remind you. And each time that we pass this circle as believers, we'll become more and more mature, more and more in love with Jesus Christ. And I think that's the beauty of this. You know, God has a funny way of when you're teaching up here. I know Jeff and Brad and Jordan, the guys will say the same thing. If you're struggling with something or whatever it might be, if you're going through something, God has a funny way of putting something or someone in your life at the right time. Have you guys ever had that happen to you? Yeah? So when I'm studying for this series, Pastor Brad and I decided to go work out. And so we decided that we were gonna go to a park in Delaware, Smith Park. And if you guys have been there, you know what I'm talking about. But at Smith Park, there's, I don't know how to describe it. It's not a playground. We didn't go to the playground together, but there's a playground that has a workout stations in it. You can do push-ups and pull-ups and all different sorts of things. And so we went there to do a workout, and usually there's no one there. But that day there was. And when we got there, I ran to fill up my water bottle before we got started. And when I came back, Brad was talking to this guy, and the guy, one of the first things he said to me was, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, "Well, then let's pray. I'm going to go on a run, but I want to pray with you guys before I leave." And so we all held hands. We're standing there in a triangle in the middle of the park, and he prayed for us, and then off he went. It wasn't until later that Brad said, "You know, that guy had a pretty cool story." And I said, what do you mean? What were you guys talking about?" And he said, he told me that for a large part of his life, he was addicted to heroin. And he said it wasn't until the past few months that he was actually able to come clean. He said he's tried in the past and it hasn't worked and he's always gone back, but that he finally was able to get clean. And the difference this time was that he came to know Jesus. And this guy, and the way he talked and the time that I had to spend with him was this right here to a T. He realized that he was nothing without Jesus Christ, that his heroin addiction would get the better of him without Jesus Christ. He knew that he needed to know God more, and that's what he said, that he wants to get to know God more every single day, and he wants nothing more than to make him known. And that's why he came up to us, with the intentionality to share the gospel with us. It just happened that Brad and I both work at a church, but that didn't bother him. He said, "Let's pray anyways," and he led us in prayer. A guy who was a heroin addict just months before. And we invited him to church this morning, and he might be here right now, and I hope he is. But I just thought it was so cool that God brought him into my life this week to help illustrate, to help me kind of understand this redemption story in my life. I'm gonna invite the band to come back up, but I wanna do something that might be a little strange, might be a little weird, but work with me here, okay? I'm gonna share a story. It's called The Story of the Guru, and you might know this story. I've heard it before, especially if you listen to like a lot of motivational speaking, things like that. But the strange thing I'm gonna have you do is while I'm reading this story, I want you to hold your breath, okay? So we're all gonna take a deep breath and we're gonna hold our breath while I share this story. I'm not gonna hold my breath, but you guys are. It's about a minute and a half for me to get through the story. And you don't have to hold your breath the entire time, just do your best, okay? And you'll understand why I'm having you do that when I'm done, okay? So on the count of three, let's hold our breath and I will share this story. If you make it a minute and a half, congratulations. Somebody will give you candy. Go back and see Jordan in the kids' wing and they'll give you candy. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, everybody deep breath. All right, here we go. There was a young man who wanted to make a lot of money, and so he went to a guru. He told the guru, "I want to be on the same level that you're on." And so the guru said, "If you want to be on the same level that I'm on, I'll meet you tomorrow at the beach at 4 a.m. The man thought, "The beach? I said I want to make money. I don't want to swim." But the young man got there at 4 a.m. all ready to rock and roll. The old guru grabbed his head and said, "How badly do you want to be successful?" "Real bad," said the young man. So the guru said, "Walk out in the water." So he walks out into the water about waist deep. He said to himself, "This man's crazy. I want to make money and he's got me out here swimming. I didn't ask to be a lifeguard. I just want to make money." The guru said, "Come out a little further." So he did. He was up right about shoulder height. He thought, "This old man is crazy. He's making money, but he's crazy." The guru said, "Come out a little further." He came out a little further. He was up to about his mouth. The young man was like, "I'm about to go back in. This man is out of his mind." But the guru said, "I thought you wanted to be successful." He said, "I do." The guru said, "Walk out a little further." He came and the guru grabbed his head and dipped it in the water and he held him down and he was holding him under. The man was scratching and clawing and fighting to get up. The guru kept him down under the water, and just before the young man was about to pass out, the guru raised him up. The guru said, "I got a question for you. When you were under the water, what was the only thing you wanted to do more than anything?" He said, "I wanted to breathe." The guru said, "When you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. Go ahead and exhale." Good job, those of you that made it. But you see, when we realize that we need Jesus more than we need to breathe, more than that breath of air, how good that felt. When we realize that we need Jesus more than that, when we want to know God more than we need to breathe, when we want to share Jesus with people more than we want to breathe, then and only then will we truly see the redemption story played out in our life, but also the life of the people outside these walls in our community. Because right now, the fact of the matter is there are people in Powell, Ohio that are not going to heaven, right? They are lost, they are broken, they are in desperate need of a savior. And we need to bring that redemption story to them. The last thing I want you to do, if you have your connection card still, please pull that out. I hope you have a pen, if you don't, but pull your connection card out, or if you have a scrap piece of paper or even the notes section in your bulletin, pull that out. I wanna do something here as we finish. On the back side, there's a prayer request section. And in that section, if there's a way that we can pray for you this week as you travel that redemption cycle, maybe you don't know Jesus and that's what you want. Write that down. Maybe you do know Jesus, but you want to know him more. Put that down. Maybe you need help sharing your faith with a coworker. Write that down. But the other thing that I want to do is I want you to think about somebody in your head right now that needs to know this redemption story, somebody that is lost without this redemption story. I'm gonna write down here on my list the guy that I met at the park. I'm also gonna write down a couple other people in my life that I know that desperately need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna collect these. We're gonna put them in the basket as you leave this morning. So please drop it in there. I'm gonna collect them this week. And every day I'm gonna pray for every single person that you guys write down. And I hope that you do the same. Pray for the person on your list. And we're gonna expect God to do something great this week. What I'm gonna have you do is just take some time to pray for yourself in this redemption cycle, because we all need it. But also pray for that person that you wrote down. And I'm just gonna be quiet for about a minute. And I want you to pray for that person, lift them up, right? And expect God to do something mighty in their heart this week. And I'm gonna close this in prayer, and then we're gonna sing, "God, You Are So, So Good" again, okay, before we leave. So let's just take a minute, bow your heads, write on that card, whatever it might be, and remember to drop it in the basket as you leave this morning. And I'll close this in prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for the story of redemption and how you've saved me, a sinner, someone that didn't deserve it. God, and even though I mess up every single day, you still love me and you still want me. And I thank you for everybody in this room that you've given them the redemption story as well. And I pray that they take it to heart, that they understand that they are lost without you, that they need to come to know you more and more every single day and not hold that in, but instead share it with the people around them. God, I pray for these prayer requests this morning. May you do a mighty work in our hearts. God, because we know if we're not right, it's going to be hard for us to reach people around us. And so I pray that you mold us and shape us and make us more like you every single day. God, I pray for the names on this card. The names that I have written down right now, the people that desperately need to know you, that are lost, that are broken, that understand redemption stories because it's evident in movies and TV, but they don't understand the true redemption story. God, we lift them up to you this morning, and we expect and we anticipate and we eagerly await for you to do a mighty work in our community. God, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.